From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Our mission is to equip you in truth with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment as a foundation for experiencing the authentic Christian life through fellowship with God and Christ. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, the resource of the month, Fragments of Truth, in which Dr. Craig Evans travels the globe to track down the most ancient New Testament manuscripts. And along the way, he highlights the groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that God has spoken and that the Bible is divine rather than being merely human in origin. That far from being doctored, far from pushing a theological agenda, far from misquoting Jesus, the Bible is totally trustworthy. This is one of the rare, great opportunities to have a resource in your hand that will equip you with respect to the central truth of the Bible's trustworthiness, but also it will give you a basis by which you can answer those who are questioning the viability of the Bible. So many students are now going to universities where they are being hit, as it were, by outrageous and slanderous statements about the Bible by New Testament teachers and scholars who really are denying the evidence for the trustworthiness of the Bible. And I give you a couple of examples. In misquoting Jesus, the story behind who changed the Bible and why, you have a professor by the name of Bart Ehrman who alleges mistakes and changes that ancient scribes made to the New Testament. And then he claims that they had a very significant impact on the Bibles that you and I read today. In fact, Ehrman says the more he studied the manuscript the manuscript tradition of the New Testament, the more he realized just how radically the text had been altered at the hands of scribes. Scribes, by the way, that he impugns with anti-Semitic motives. And while the public has taken a significant bite out of this very, very poisonous apple, textual critics are well aware of the fact that Ehrman has presented the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And I say that for three reasons, the first of which is the sheer volume of extant manuscripts is more than sufficient to retrieve the original message of the New Testament authors. And secondly, because while Ehrman's contention that there are more differences among our manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament is factually defensible, however, the notion that these copyist changes dramatically affected everything from the divinity of Jesus to the divine origins of the Bible is not. And while such assertions make for great rhetoric, they are clearly ridiculous. The vast majority of copyist variants are mere matters of spelling and style, and as such, they're readily discernible. And no essential teaching of the faith has been compromised. And a third point is this. The quality and quantity of manuscripts is sufficient to ferret out any copyist errors. So the bottom line is this. Bart Ehrman's contention that careless, capricious, copyists created cartloads of clearly contaminated copies does not correspond to reality. And we need to be able to communicate that reality to our kids, our grandkids. And Fragments of Truth will help you do just that. It is available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. One of the great quotes with respect to the veracity of Scripture comes from Noah Webster. He, of course, is best known for his American Dictionary of the English Language. And he said this, "The Bible is the chief moral cause of all that is good. It is the best corrective of all that is evil in human society. It's the best book for regulating the temporal concerns of men and women, and the only book that can serve as an infallible guide. The principles of genuine liberty, the principles of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained thereafter by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be an accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. One of the horrific charges made against Scripture is that the manuscripts on which the Bible rests were produced by dark and sinister anti-Semitic copyists." How different from the words of Noah Webster. And of course, leading the pack is Bart Ehrman. I mentioned him just a moment ago. He's the distinguished professor of religious studies at the prestigious University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. But the question is he right? Is the Bible definitively anti-Semitic? Let me give you six reasons quickly that undermine his outrageous slander. The first of which is that Jesus, the 12 apostles, the apostle Paul, they were all Jewish. In fact, Christians proudly refer to their heritage as the Judeo-Christian tradition. Secondly, New Testament writers and their copyists clearly proclaimed that salvation through the Jewish Messiah was given first to the Jewish people and then to the rest of the world. Thirdly, Peter's vision followed by Cornelius's receiving of the Holy Spirit and then the subsequent Jerusalem Council clearly demonstrate the inclusive nature of the church. Fourthly, in the book of Hebrews, Christians are reminded of Jews from David to Daniel who are memorialized in the Faith Hall of Fame. And fifth, Christian children grow up with Jews as their heroes. From their mother's knees to Sunday school classes, they're treated to Old Testament stories of great Jewish men and women of faith, from Moses to Mary and from Ezekiel to Esther. And the sixth reason is that the whole of Scripture goes to great lengths to underscore that when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ, there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. And that Jewish people throughout the generations are no more responsible for the death of Christ than anyone else. Remember the words of Ezekiel? "The Son will not share the guilt of the Father, nor will the Father share the guilt of the Son." Liberal scholars like Bart Ehrman, I was going to call him Bert, owe the world an apology for for inventing an idiosyncratic brand of fundamentalism that foments bigotry and hatred by entertaining the absurd notion that the New Testament is anti-Semitic. And again, to get a full flavor of how you can trust the Bible, get Fragments of Truth. It is available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out again on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, we'll go right to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And my thanks for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Your support is making the difference in the lives of so many people. Be right back.
Has Jesus been misquoted? Skeptics like Bart Ehrman have caused thousands of people to doubt or depart their faith based on the claim that biblical manuscripts cannot be trusted because they have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the new film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans debunks this fallacious claim and demonstrates that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back to answer more questions. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the new Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. And Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right to our phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is Mark in Idaho, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Hank. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. I've called a few times, but it's when you were sick, and I talked to somebody else there on the phone, that is. Walter, I believe his name was, I think. Harold. Anyway. Now, I got a question about this Bible that's out of Georgia, and it supposedly it leaks oil, and when somebody tested, it was mineral oil, but there was no mineral oil back then, in the time when our Savior was walking on the earth. And my sister, and she lives in Chicago, and she seems to believe it hook, line, and sinker. And I told her to be careful when you come across things like that. You got to really check those things out. And I was just wondering what your opinion was about it. And I do respect your opinion, so that is why I called, and that's my question.
Yeah, I haven't really engaged in any primary research on this particular situation. I have heard about it, and it sort of sounds to me as though this is something spurious. It has all the earmarks of a hoax, but again, I haven't done any primary research on it, so I can't say that with certainty. On the one hand, I certainly believe in miracles, but I'm very skeptical about this.
Yes, I agree with that. I pretty much agree with everything you just said. That's what I told my sister to hold on and check this stuff out a little bit more, and don't just jump on anything that you see. I guess to test the spirit, if you will. But I guess I'm satisfied. And I'll keep my eyes peeled on that. And I do check on back and forth, see what other people's opinions are. And, well, I appreciate your time, Hank.
Well, thank you so much for your call. I wish I could be more helpful on that particular question, but that's the best I can do at the moment. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Chris in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm calling about masturbation. He said it's okay to say that word. Here's my question in a nutshell. I'll be brief. In the Bible, it states that it's improper, but through all my studies, it really appears that leans towards, one, back then, God was trying to populate the world, and he wanted the family together quickly to produce children to populate the world. Also, a united family at an early age promotes Christianity-type behavior, and at the same time, it also was about lust. Now, older people, for example, I'm 60, essentially. When you're no longer married, and if you don't, as many old people feel, they're not interested or likely to get married again, very unlikely to have children, that eliminates the marriage part and the children part. And also, in my case, when I have personal intimacy, that's the term I use for it, I'm thinking of my ex-wife. And that eliminates the lust to a significant degree. Where do I stand with God on that?
Well, a couple of things. The first thing I would say is the Bible is not explicit regarding masturbation. But there are some basic principles that we can draw from the biblical text. The first principle that comes to mind is don't lust. Or don't fantasize after someone you're not married to. And if that's part of the masturbation process, then it would militate against a biblical principle. I'd also say that any masturbation in conjunction with pornography is explicitly sinful. And what the Bible is explicit about is that we were created male and female with sexual intercourse that ought to be restricted to marriage. And an argument could be made that we are made for sexual union, male and female, not for solo sexual activity. So these are principles that you can extract from Scripture. But I think they're principles that you have to keep in mind when engaging this particular subject. Let me go back to the phone lines and talk to John in Winters, California. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I have a question, but I just want to ask, are you doing well as far as with the cancer?
Yeah, I'm completely cancer-free. I did have an operation on my forehead for what's called squamish cancer, which is not a life-threatening kind of cancer, but it's sort of a skin cancer. It's not like melanoma, but after I had the surgery, my eyes swole pretty much shut, and I have great big red bags under my eyes right now. I kind of look, I wouldn't want to be on television right now, as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, but yeah, I'm kind of making it through that process. It's just part of the surgery itself. And
yeah, well, I thank God he spared you and gave you more years, so happy to hear that. Now, my question is, I read the New King James Version.
Yeah.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers." Anyway, the part where I'm interested in is, "nor homosexuals nor sodomites." Is it possible for somebody to be a homosexual without being a sodomite? Is that the distinction that it's making there?
Well, you know, basically there are other translations of the Bible that would take sodomite and translate that as a homosexual offender, and thereby render a distinction between a homosexual and a homosexual offender.
Oh, so because somebody that would say someone that would have feelings like that, if they refrained, just like a heterosexual that would refrain from any kind of intimacy, they would be able to go to heaven, correct, if they trusted in Christ?
Well, absolutely. And I think it's important to recognize that all of us are sinners, and therefore all of us are justly and condignly condemned by our sin. And therefore, those who are genuinely repentant of their sinful behaviors and want to follow Jesus Christ and be absolutely, radically transformed by his grace and his power are welcome into the kingdom. So, yeah, we all have predilections in the wrong direction. We're all sinful. And the question is, are we repentant of our sin, and are we putting ourselves in a context where we can be transformed? I said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that transformation takes place within the context of the church. You receive graces within the church that transform you from one glory to another. And therefore, in the context of the body of Christ, you're constantly repenting of your sin so that you can partake of the very means of grace that transform you. So if you're repentant over whatever your besetting sin is, you certainly are someone that is welcomed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and someone that is being transformed in the process.
Mm-hmm. And so when it says then homosexual or sodomite, it may be just stating the same thing twice, or is that?
Yeah, I mean, it is referring to same-sex behavior, and it's referring to that behavior being prohibited in Scripture, prohibited by the biblical text, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was just a little bit confused about why it said, you know, homosexuals nor sodomites. I thought that would be like saying gays nor homosexuals. It's kind of the same thing, but I mean, but it is clear in Scripture, at least we know that much, that we don't want to partake in that. Okay, well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And we are at a time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. There may be a confusion in the New King James Version of the Bible, but there's no confusion with respect to the subject matter that is being addressed. Do remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And if you want to have quick access to Fragments of Truth, check it out on the web at equip.org. It is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.